Public Charter School, operated by Alta Vista Public Charters, Inc. Today is Tuesday, March 2nd, 2021, at 12 o'clock. On March 17, 2020, Governor Newsom issued Executive Order N-2920 related to the COVID-19 pandemic. The executive order allows state bodies covered by the Brown Act to hold public meetings via teleconferencing. The public is encouraged to participate in the meeting telephonically by dialing the conference line listed above and may submit written comments for prior consideration to the board members. Comments can be submitted to dmendoza@mrnortecharter.org. Public comment on the day of the meeting can also be given during the public comment section of the meeting agenda. We're going to open up our meeting, and we're going to call the meeting to order. We'll do a roll call and establish a quorum. Carol Stanford, present. Claudette Beck?
Present.
Mike Malloy?
Present.
John George?
Present.
And Barbara Willebrand? Barbara?
Present.
Okay, I knew she was on there. All right, so we have a quorum. So we're going to do the Pledge of Allegiance. I'd like to ask Claudette to lead us in that. Would you all put your phone on mute while we're doing it? Yes?
Okay. Well, I will start. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
At this time, we're going to invite staff members, and we're going to start first with please say your name and introduce yourself. So we're going to start with corporate officers.
Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer.
Okay. All right. Now we're going to go to school staff.
Janet Wilson, Area Superintendent.
Good afternoon. It's Raquel Velasco, Principal.
Hi, Raquel.
And this is Jeff Martineau, Vice President, Charter Relations.
Hi, Jeff. All right.
This is Emma Velasco, Principal.
Okay. I think you have one more person, Carol.
Okay.
I'll go ahead. Bill Thompson, Legal Counsel.
All right. If I cut someone off, please come back on. All right. Advisors who are supporting agenda items are presenting.
Hi, this is Geeta Sharichi with LLAC, the CFO. Thank you.
Hi, Geeta. Anybody else?
Hi, this is Michelle Simi, Director of Business Services at LLAC.
And any other staff who wishes to introduce themselves? All right. Thank you, everyone. Welcome to our meeting. So now we're going to ask to approve the agenda for the March 2nd, 2021 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. I assume everyone has read it. Are there any questions or discussions? And if not, can I have someone make a motion?
Mike Malloy makes a motion.
John George, second.
So Mike Malloy is motioned and John George seconded, so we'll vote on it. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So it's unanimous, and we passed it. So thank you, everyone. And it was everyone voted aye. So now we're on F, approved minutes of the December 1, 2020 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. Is there any discussion or questions about that? And if not, can I have a motion and a second? Barbara Willebrand, move.
I'll second. Claudette Beck.
So Barbara Willebrand has moved and Claudette Beck has seconded. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy? John George.
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand.
Aye.
So motion F has passed unanimously. We are now on the consent agenda. All items listed under consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of the charter school. The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. Number one, the board will be asked to approve the service animal policy. Number two, the board will be asked to approve the revised COVID-19 plan for resuming in-person instruction for the 2020-21 school year, an addendum to the school's health and safety plan. Three, the board will be asked to approve the 2021-22 parent-student handbook. Four, the board will be asked to approve the revised personalized learning policy. Five, the board will be asked to approve the 2021-22 school calendar. And six, the board will be asked to approve the school accountability report card. Are there any questions about these agenda items, or does anyone want one for further discussion and to vote on later? If not, can I have a motion and a second?
A second.
I didn't hear the motion, I'm sorry. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda A, 1 through 6?
Mike Malloy, I'll make the motion.
Okay, Mike Malloy made the motion. And John George is second. So Mike Malloy has motioned and John George has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Aye. Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So the consent agenda, A, 1 through 6, has passed. So now we're on public comment. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter's jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda. If you would like to participate in public comment, you must have signed in before the commencement of the meeting. Also, our teleconference line is open to members of the public who wish to participate in public comment. The time allotted per presentation will not exceed 3 minutes, except in the case where a member of the public utilizes a translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. The total time allotted for public comment will not exceed 18 minutes per agenda item or 10 minutes for non-agenda items. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, and provide directions to staff to schedule the matter for a further meeting. Is there anyone from the public who would like to announce herself? Or Vanessa, has anyone contacted you?
Hi, this is Vanessa Mendoza reporting that no public comments were received. Thank you.
And so I just realized at the beginning I didn't tell you to mute your phones or to announce who you are when you have a question or have discussion. Sorry about that. All right, so now we're on 6, school reports and information. And this is Janet Wilson, Area Superintendent Update.
Good afternoon, distinguished governing board. This is Janet Wilson. I hope you are doing well, and I'm excited to share with you today just the great things about Vista Norte. Our first big news is that we are preparing for our oversight Zoom meeting with our authorizer, the Hellendale School District. I have a preparation meeting with Superintendent Ross Swearinger this Thursday at 9, and our oversight meeting is scheduled for Thursday, March 18th at 9:30 a.m. To ensure that we can answer all of Hellendale's oversight questions, we will have both principals, teachers, our regional SRM, Jeff Martineau, representatives from our finance department, HR department, a few students and parents from both our independent study and home study programs available to answer Hellendale's questions. I will give you a full report on our oversight visit at our next board meeting. We continue to monitor COVID-19 in both San Bernardino and Riverside counties, which are both reporting dramatic improvements to the number of cases reported. They aren't yet in the tier, they're still in the purple tier that would allow us to reopen. And we are also monitoring the other variants that are projected to hit sometime this month that may drive our numbers back up. We are hoping not, but proceeding with caution for our staff and students, and will remain remote until we can safely open. Our staff in both counties are beginning to get vaccinations, which currently are voluntary. We are also working on our LCAP and are sending out a survey to our staff, students, and parents. This is the survey that was sent out last August when we were developing our modified LCP that has been in place during COVID-19. We will gather stakeholder input and then determine our expenditures based on the needs of our students, with an emphasis on our subgroups and vulnerable populations such as English learners, foster youth, homeless, parenting teens, special education, and students of color. Vista Norte does have a large English learner population, and more specifically, a large number of refugee students, so we will be focusing on ensuring our students are learning English and making academic progress. I would now like to turn this report over to Raquel Velasco, our principal at Vista Norte Rialto site, for an update.
Good afternoon. It's always a pleasure to address the board. I have a very special update for you today. It's been almost 1 year since we went remote. Time flies. Throughout this time, we've had to keep laser focus on our students, be it the students' physical, social, emotional well-being, and their academic progress demonstrated through center utilization, NWEA scores, average credit completion, and concurrent enrollment, etc. So at Rialto, we have 278 students, and at Casablanca, we have 187. So total is 465 students. Of those, we're serving 44 home study students that are K-8 at Rialto. We have the little itty-bitty ones for TK and Kinder at Rialto and at CASA. And total between actually TK and Kinder, we have about 21 students. Total in home study is 44. In our LP8, our Rialto Learning Center averaged 88% utilization, and the Casablanca site reached their all-time high of 87%. Rialto's average utilization to date is 88.52%, and to date, we've had 40 students graduate since the pandemic at Rialto and 15 at Casablanca. We're excited because we just finished NWEA testing. We had 91% of our students test, and our scores are the following. In math, 76% of our students tested experienced growth. And in English, 66% of our students tested experienced growth. So this was a huge, actually, I think this year going remote, we had our tremendous gains. And in comparison to other years, I think this is the year that we actually saw the most growth in NWEA. So as far as our students that are concurrently enrolled, we have at Chafee College, we have 10 students taking U.S. history, one or more of these classes, U.S. history, guidance, financial planning, and diet and fitness. We recently had our virtual FAFSA workshop on February 24th, and we had 13 students attend. As you know, this is a treat that I have for you, but as you know, success isn't linear. Many of us, if not all of us, have experienced that firsthand. And success is never final, and failure is never fatal. It's the courage through both that count. The last board meeting, I shared this quote from Martin Luther King Jr. If you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep moving forward. 30.7% of our students who grow up in foster care graduate high school, which means 3 out of 10 students make it. I would like to share with you a recent graduate from our Rialto Learning Center. She would have joined the call, but she got a little too nervous last minute. She's been enrolled with us on and off for 3 years. She's a young lady who was running, in her words, running the streets. And something I learned through this pandemic is that you'll never always be motivated. This is true for everyone, regardless of age. You have to learn to be disciplined. And an example of this is one of our own, Serenity Hunter. Serenity is full of tenacity, personality, and ambition. In her recent interview with Michelle Van Kirk, she shares how she is college bound. She actually attended our FAFSA workshop. She is now incredibly determined to continue her education. She owns her own business called Incredible Jewels, and she is the CEO. One of the questions that was asked of her is, what are some of your successes and accomplishments and what you're proud of and why? And she says, not running the streets like most of the people my age that I went to school with and didn't end up pregnant or on drugs. And I thought that is so powerful because, as you know, the statistics that we read about and the statistics that we experience firsthand on the daily, this is the majority of our students. And not only did she break through that statistic, but she is now going to be college bound, and I'm so proud, so proud of her. She says she's being shaped into the best person she can possibly be, and she's learning and getting ready for the real world. She says, never take teachers for granted. Like, you might not like the fact that they call or even sometimes text you all week nonstop, but they care, and you won't have that after high school. She mentioned the staff members that have had an impact on her, from the counselors, the teachers, the lead teachers. And she also mentioned how she didn't feel she was smart enough and didn't have any confidence. But that has all turned around. She said, one of the questions Michelle asked is, where do you think you would be if you had not come to our school? She said, I was barely turning in my work and I had C's and D's. So when I came to Vista Norte Charter School, I had some of the best grades ever. The one-on-one was really helpful, and the way my teachers called and bugged was very much needed. Some of her future goals and plans, as I mentioned, is to go to college, to stay in church, and I want to get a temporary job as an IHSS worker for now. Be someone who motivates or helps people my age or younger in high school. She said everything she was trying to do, like ditching and running the streets with her friends, were just experiences that she wants people to know really didn't help in the end. And in her words, she said, I never had a drop out of high school while I was in foster care. It did affect my determination. I was very depressed. I stood in my room in the dark a lot of the time, and I wasn't going as I should, and I really wasn't turning anything in. She makes honorable mention to the counselors. She contributes all of her success to her faith in Jesus. She is active in her church, and she says she puts God first now in everything. So I am pleased. I am so beyond proud to share this with you. I wish you would have been able to hear this firsthand, but this is why we do what we do. And, you know, there's so much of the backstory of students that sometimes we hear and sometimes we don't get to hear. But this is just a testament of the program that all of you support and that we get to do on the daily. So thank you so much for your time. Do you have any questions?
That was beautiful. Have the board members any comments, please?
Carol, this is Janet Wilson. I still have a little bit more, but I would like
okay.
to add that in talking with the counselor about this student, we know that all of our students have such a tough life sometimes. But the counselor said this one was the worst of the worst. So it makes me cry. It makes me cry that she is moving forward. And as Mrs. Velasco said, well, if 3 out of 10 foster kids are graduating, we're never stopping until we have 10 out of 10, until we have 100%. We cannot fail these kids. So thank you, Raquel. It is my pleasure now to introduce our new principal from Casablanca, Rogelio Velasco, better known as Memo. He's our new principal at Casablanca site, and he's the perfect fit for Casablanca because not only is he an outstanding person and educator for all staff and students, he also came to the United States from Central America as a youth. He is the perfect role model for our refugee students to see what can be achieved with perseverance, determination, and grit. Memo, it is a pleasure to have you on our team, and I now turn this report over to you from Casablanca.
Thank you, Janet. Good afternoon. My name is Memo Velasco, and Janet said I'm the new principal for Side of Casablanca and Riverside. I just want to say that I'm really excited to be able to help in the capacity of a principal to such a unique site. Our Casablanca site is a very unique site. We share the building with the Casablanca Home of Neighborly Service. This is an organization that is very active with the community, providing food and other household items to the community. They also provide information such as immigration services and things that help students that come from a different country. And just to have the privilege to work on a place like this, I'm honored. So I'm really happy for the opportunity, and I just want to say thank you so much.
Thank you. Now, do you have any questions?
Yeah, that was wonderful. Okay. Thank you so much. Anybody else, please, comment.
When this is over, I really hope that the board can come and visit these. I know that several of you have, but to come now, Casablanca isn't what it was 5 years ago. The culture has shifted to culture of diversity, and I just welcome you to come and get inspired by our students at Casablanca and Rialto. So when this is over, I can't wait to see you.
Oh, you can count on it. We're coming. We are. I can't wait to come. Anybody else? All right. So now we're going to go into B, the finance update, and this is Gita.
Hello, board. This is Gita Sharifi. I'm the CFO with LNAC. So there are a couple of items. I'm not going to discuss them here. They're coming up on the agenda. The first item is that the annual audit for the school is complete. So you will hear from the auditors a report on that annual audit. I'm going to review the second interim report with the board. And then also, just some update on status on the PPP loans. Currently that the school has, the applications for the forgiveness are provided to us through the bank, Tommy Bank, and that's who we used to originally support the school to apply for the PPP loans. So the forgiveness applications are out. We're working with the bank to get instructions of how to work through those applications to apply for forgiveness and support the school. The area superintendent and the corporate officers have decided to apply for the forgiveness in the next fiscal year. So that's the most up-to-date information I have at this point. Thank you so much. And if there's any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
All right. Thank you so much. Any questions from the board members? If not, we're going to go to C, the current vendor list, and this is on pages 130 to 131. It's about a page and a half of vendors, and this is Janet Wilson.
Thank you. I was just going to say the vendor list is in your board packet on pages 130 and 131. The attachment is a listing of all the school's vendors with a brief description of services. As you can see, the list includes vendors who provide varying services, including professional development, technology, healthcare benefits, and many more. This list is presented to the board as an informational item twice a year for your review. Do you have any questions?
Oh, thank you so much. All right. Anyone else have any questions? If not, we'll go to D. This is the 2021-22 board meeting. This is on page 133, and we really appreciate this. Please put this on your calendars. And hopefully, some of these we can do in person, which would be wonderful. We'll go to lunch, the whole thing. I can't wait. All right. So we'll move from that and go into action items. This is 5. The board will be asked to approve the June 30th, 2020 annual audit report for the school. And this is Janet Wilson, and it's on pages 135 through 173 in your packet.
Financial audits are required annually and must be submitted to the school's authorizer, which in our case is Hallandale School District, the County Office of Education, the State Controller's Office, the California Department of Education Charter School Division. The audit report is required to be submitted normally by December 15th each year. However, for the 2019-20 fiscal year, the deadline was extended to March 31st, 2021. Wilkinson, Hadley, King & Company performed the audit preparation for the performed the audit for our 2019-20 fiscal year and reviewed the school's documents, financial statements, policies, and procedures. I would like to introduce Kevin Sproul, accountant at Wilkinson Hadley King Incorporation, who will review the audit report in detail with you. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. I was going to say good morning, but it is 12:30, so it is now, I guess, afternoon. So welcome, welcome. I know that reviewing the audit report is a highlight of everyone's day, so I'm glad that I could be here to make your dreams come true. What I do with the board is I kind of do an overview of the audit, the different areas. I point out specific things that I want to make sure you are aware of. And then when I'm done, I open it up for questions. As I go through the audit report, I will be referencing the numbers at the bottom of the audit report. So if you want to follow along, that's how I will be navigating. And I will start with page number one, which is the independent auditor's report. It's the very first letter. So the purpose of this letter is to give the opinion on the financial statement as a whole. And you'll see at the bottom of that first page, it says, in our opinion, the financial statements referred to above present fairly in all material respects the financial position of the school as of June 30, 2020. And so this means that it's an unmodified opinion, which is the best you can get. And so that's what you're always shooting for an audit, is an unmodified opinion. So after this first letter, the basic financial statements, the first one being the statement of financial position, that's like your balance sheet. Then there's the statement of activities, so that's like your income statement. And then following that are the statement of functional expenses and the statement of cash flow. I'm going to talk about the fiscal health of the school on another schedule a little bit later because I like to use that one as kind of a basis point. I think it's a little bit more helpful, but I do want to give your attention to the statement of functional expenses. The purpose of this schedule is to take the very summarized expense numbers shown on the statement of activities and break those out into the categories, the major categories of the expenditures. So if you're curious where the expenditures are going, you can see this categorical breakdown on this page 5, the statement of functional expenses. So after those basic financial statements are the notes to the financial statements. Now the purpose of these are to outline the policies and procedures accounting-wise for the school, and then also what the notes do is they take those line items on the balance sheet and they flesh those out into more detail. So if you see, you know, the accounts receivable or the accounts payable on the balance sheet, you're like, but what exactly are the categories that that's made up of? You can go to these notes of the financial statements and you can look at the, you know, more detailed view of those if you want to dig in more. And for those of you who have trouble sleeping at night, I mean, just crack this open, go to these notes, and just start reading. You'll probably be asleep in about 5 minutes. I do want to bring your attention to the last page of the notes, though, which is page number 19. So with this year, we've all had the great fortune / misfortune to have to rearrange our lives, our schedules to deal with COVID-19. So we felt it very important to include notes that referenced COVID-19 as far as the effect that it had on the school. And so this is the first one that we have in the report in the notes of the financial management team, so it's, you know, more specific to the organization. The next one I want to bring your attention to is on page 21, which is now in the supplemental information section, and these schedules are required by the K-12 audit guide for California. So you'll see on the schedule of average daily attendance, or ADA, on page 21, there's another COVID note that references the Senate Bill 117. So the reason why this Senate bill was important is because it enacted what's basically called hold harmless for the districts and charter schools in California. So what this did is it basically froze ADA levels at their 1920 amounts for the 2021 fiscal year. There are some exceptions that they wrote into the law after the fact for school districts and classroom-based charter schools to petition for an increase in ADA once they prove their enrollment increased. But those provisions excluded specifically non-classroom-based charter schools. So the ADA for the school will remain the same from 1920 to 2021. And I'm sure that the budgets and everything have already been, you know, revised since the initial budgets were done, but I just want to make sure that you're aware of that. Which brings us to the schedule financial trends and analysis on page 23. So this is the place that I like to point when I talk to people about the health of a school, because you can see the revenues and expenses right here for each of the last up to, you know, the last three operating years. But also it shows the ADA for those same years. So with what I just talked about with the SB 117, that ADA for the 2021 year is actually going to be higher than budgeted because of that hold harmless. So in the case of this, you know, it actually should help. But you can see the change in net assets was positive for 2019, positive for 2020. Now the budget initially had it negative, but there are some infusions of one-time monies coming in 2021, and so my guess is by the end of 2021 it will probably be positive, but that's an administration question. But then it also, like I said, shows the P2 ADA, which did grow from 2019 to 2020, but then it was showing that it was going to decline again. So obviously you'll want to wrap that into discussions as you guys budget more. The next section is the other independent auditors reports, and this is the report on internal control using government auditing standards and the report on state compliance. And these are summarized on the schedule of auditors results on page 20 or 31. And so you'll see the type of auditor report issued was unmodified, and the type of report issued for compliance on state programs was also unmodified. You can remember from the very beginning that is the opinion you're shooting for. You want to get the unmodified opinion. You'll also see the checkboxes or the lines on this page talk about material weaknesses, significant deficiencies, or areas of noncompliance, and those are all marked no, which means there were no findings this year, which you can also see on the next page, on page 32, financial statement findings none, and state award findings none. So that's what you're going for. Now, I do like to have a little caveat about findings at this point in time, and just remind boards that just because a school gets a finding does not mean it's the end of the world. It is not the worst thing ever. We like to have a relationship with schools where they can talk to us about issues that they might be experiencing, because we'd rather do a preventative, you know, proactive measure than to say after the fact something was wrong that you did and give a finding. But there are certain cases where findings are required for us to, you know, though there are no findings this year, I'd just like to say that, just so that it's, you know, I plant the seed that there's a lot of negativity with findings, and that doesn't have to be the case. You know, we can all move forward sometimes better when there's a finding issued, because, you know, we can all get on the same page. And so, like I said, just like to plant that seed with boards when I give this presentation, so that as they move forward year after year, I'm sure at some point there will be a finding somewhere, and that way they know, oh, okay, yes, I remember, you know, years ago, Kevin said, it's okay, it's not the end of the world. So, yeah, I'd just like to leave you with that. So if you have any questions, I'd now open up to that.
This is Board President Carol Stanford. This is a beautiful report, and I wanted to remind the board that on page 8 of this report is a really nice overview of Vista Norte under the Educational Advancement Corporation, and there's a chart at the bottom. I'd really like it if everybody would remove that page and keep it. It's just a beautiful overview with the two paragraphs, and breaks down all in the green colors all of our organization. And it's probably just a good thing to have to look at once in a while. So thank you for this. It was really, really good. Any other questions from any other board members?
This is Claudette Begg. Kevin, yeah, thank you for the report. It's a really good report, and I'd like to thank you for pointing out the, you know, where to find some of these things again. In case you want to go back and look, you know, and remember about something, you can go back and you kind of know where it is from how you've laid that out. So appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem.
Anybody else? All right, so we need a motion and a second to vote on 5A.
Claudia Beck, I'll make a motion to approve.
Barbara Willebrand, second. So Claudia Beck has motioned and Barbara Willebrand has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudia Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 5A has passed unanimously. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Kevin. That was really good. All right. So 5B, the board will be asked to approve the second interim report of the revised budget for the 2021 school year. And this is Geeta, and this is on pages 174 through 184. Geeta.
Thank you so much. Thank you, board. This is Geeta with LNAC. So I'm just going to go over the second interim report, which is the first 7 months of operation report for the school from July 1st, 2020 through January 30th, 2021. The report reflects the financial section that includes the original budget, revised budget, actual to date, and projected year-end totals. And in this case, matches the revised budget, as they are based on the same data and assumptions. The report also includes the projected school reserves at the year end and ABA information on the last page. As we informed the board in the first interim report, the projected funding ABA is already known, as Kevin just went over with the ABA hold harmless, and the school will get the funding based on last year's P2 ABA. This allows for an accurate projection of year-end funding in the revised budget. I'm going to go over some highlights. Just like in the first interim presented back in November, the second interim report shows noticeable changes of financial projections compared to the original budget. These differences are due to changes to the proposed state budget between the time the original budget and school budget was developed last year and the time that the development of this revised budget today. The revisions include higher funding rates and changes in funding ABA due to ABA hold harmless and additional funds for stimulus funding due to pandemic. We're going to look at the Form A, which is the last page of financial second interim section. It shows the average daily attendance for the school. The average daily attendance for ABA projected for the original budget was 411 for year 2021. This projection was lower than the prior year's attendance. However, due to break caused an increase in the school total revenue that was addressed in the development of the revised budget. And now we're going to look at some revenue and expenditures for the first 7 months of the year. That's Form 62 at the beginning of the second interim report in your packet. The school is projecting a total revenue of $9.2 million and a projected excess revenue of $227,000. Revenue projections are similar to the ones in the first interim, primarily because the funding ADA has not changed, and funding rates are also very similar to the ones projected in the first interim report. Compared to the original budget, which is columns A and B, base revenue from LCFS sources increased from $4.8 million to $8.5 million due to the increase in the funding ADA, along with an increase in LCFS funding rate. Federal revenue increased due to additional funds from the federal portion of Learning Loss Mitigation Fund. This was through the CARES Act. Other state revenue increased from $329,000 to $660,000 due to higher funding ADA and higher funding rates from the state FED and additional funds from the state portion of the Learning Loss Mitigation Fund. Projected local revenue increased by $22,000 due to payments from E-Rate program for communication services. On the expense side, the total school budgeted expenses this year is $9 million. Compared to prior projections in the first interim, total expenditures are at quite similar amounts, including a slight increase in salaries and benefits and supplies, and a small decrease in communication. When comparing the revised budget to the original budget, that's columns A and B, the revised budget expenditures increased by $5.4 million to $9 million. The increase in expenses includes increase in salaries and benefits spending from $3.4 million to $5.9 million, due primarily to an increase in teachers and support staff. Budget and projections for purchases increased from $135,000 to $489,000, and that's due to increase in supplies and equipment. Budgeted operating expenses increased from $1.7 million to $2.4 million, due primarily to an increase in instructional services and small increase in facilities and insurance. If you refer to the net position section of the report, that's item F, you will see that with current reserve of $735,000 and the projected excess revenue of $227,000, the school will end up fiscal year 2021 with a projected reserve of $963,000, which is 10% of the total annual expenditure. The school does not really accept any big changes and throughout the end of the year, and but throughout the year we work with the school officials, area superintendents, to ensure that all the needs of the school are met, all the instructional services, any staffing needs or any new funding sources that come through are reviewed and analyzed and looked at, as well as any instructional spending, and most importantly, the cash flow. That's something that we support the school to ensure that the school has a healthy cash flow. So that concludes my section. Thank you, everyone. And if there's any question, I'll be happy to answer. Thank you.
Thank you, Gita. That was really good. Any questions from the board members? If not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 5G?
Board Member Dorsey, move to approve.
So John Dorch has moved and Claudette Beck has seconded. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
And Barbara Wilbrand?
Aye.
So 5B has passed unanimously. Thank you. And thank you, Gita. So now we're on 5C. The board will be asked to approve using the audit firm of Wilkinson, Hadley, and King for the 2021 audit. And this is Gita.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, board. Every year, it's recommended to get approval from the board to engage with an auditing firm. Wilkinson, Hadley, King & Company, they've been auditors for the school for the past 15 years. They've been, in the industry for a very long time, and they're also one of the approved CPA firms under the CDE approved CPA firms to do audits for the school. And due to regulations, we have to select auditing firm that is on that list, and they are. They do rotate the partner, the engagement partner, every 6 years, which is highly recommended. That happens within the auditing firm. And Kevin Sproul, who just presented with Wilkinson, has started being the engagement partner for the firm as of the fiscal year 2021. The annual cost for the audit is $12,000 for the school, and we highly recommend to continue using Wilkinson Hadley to do the audit for the school. Thank you.
All right. I just want to tell you, I'm really impressed with the reports they put out. They're easy to read, and they're really nice, so thank you for that. Any questions from the board members? If not, a motion and a second.
Mike Malloy makes a motion.
Bob Willebrand, second. All right, so Mike Malloy has moved, and Barbara Willebrand is seconded. We'll vote Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck, aye. Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 5C is passed unanimously. So now we're on D. The board will be asked to approve the E-rate vendor selection. And this is Michelle Timmy. This is on pages 191 through 195.
Good afternoon, board. Each year, the charter applies for funding through the E-rate program to offset the cost of its internet service, as well as some of the infrastructure that's required to provide that internet service throughout the resource centers. The equipment and services that are purchased are typically needed for any new resource centers that may be slated to open, any upgrades to the existing equipment, or to replace any failed equipment. Additionally, the charter typically applies for more funding than it expects to use during the course of the year, and this is intended to cover any unforeseen needs that come up. The team later reduces those application amounts over the course of that funding year to bring them in line with the actual projects that require the equipment and services that have been requested. So the quotes that are in the packets are over and above what we anticipate funding. Each E-rate applicant, though, has a five-year rolling budget for this networking equipment and cabling. The budget amount is determined by the school's enrollment, and the 2021 funding year will be the first year of a new five-year cycle for us. In some cases, the amount of equipment that has been requested is constrained by the budget, and not all the equipment that may be needed to complete a given project will be covered by E-rate funds. One of the reasons for this is that there are some components that are required for the networking configuration that are not eligible for this funding. So the business services team at LLAC conducted a competitive bidding process for the school where vendors were asked to submit proposals for the services. The bids were reviewed with the IT and facilities departments, and a vendor was selected for each service category based on the scoring matrix. The charter received five bids for the network cabling vendor services, and the bid from ECI Phone Connections received the highest score. So staff recommends selecting ECI Phone Connection Communications as the preferred service provider for the upcoming 2021 E-rate funding year. For networking equipment, the charter received five different bids, and the bid from CDWG received the highest score. staff recommends that the board select CDWG as the preferred service provider for the 2021 E-rate funding year. And unless there are any questions, that concludes my presentation.
Thank you so much, Michelle. It's really interesting. We need our internet. That's all there is to it. Any questions or discussions from the board? If not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 5D?
Father Gilliband moved.
Okay, so Barbara Willebrand has moved and Mike Malloy has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Deck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye. Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So D has passed unanimously. Thank you, Board, and thank you, Michelle Simi. So now we're on E. The board will be asked to approve the charter hardship waiver policy for students who are overage, credit deficient, and at risk for non-graduating due to circumstances related to COVID-19. The charter hardship waiver policy will be applied to eligible seniors graduating in the 2020-21 school year. And Janet Wilson, you're up.
I'd like to direct the board to the charter hardship waiver policy on pages 196 and 197 of your board packet. We are seeking approval from the board to reapprove the charter hardship waiver. Previously, the board approved the waiver in June 2020 to go into effect until December 2020. As the effects of the pandemic continue, we have noticed our seniors continue to face surmounting challenges, especially in the area of housing, food insecurity, and financial insecurity. We are asking the board to consider approving allowing students 40 credits deficient or less at least 18 years of age who were significantly impacted by COVID-19 to continue to apply for the waiver through June 30th, 2021. Currently, we are recommending the board approve the charter hardship waiver to accommodate our seniors in need. I want to assure the board this will only be used in the direst of circumstances. For example, we have a student who is 19. Heartbroken to tell you, her mother just died from COVID-19. Her father is in the hospital dying of kidney failure and isn't expected to make it for the next few more weeks. She and her siblings are homeless, moving from hotel to hotel, and our staff has been diligent in trying to find support for them. She will drop out if necessary to feed and take care of her siblings. She would qualify for the hardship waiver, and it will make a difference in her life. But again, I want to assure you, it's only in the most dire situations that we would consider this. Thank you. Do you have any questions?
Well, that is heartbreaking. Thank you. Any questions from the board? Can I have a motion and a second to approve?
Board Member Dortch, move to approve.
Barbara Willebrand, second. So John Dortch has moved and Barbara Willebrand has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Deck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So E has passed unanimously. So thank you, Janet Wilson, for that. We're now on 6 additional corporate officers and board members' observations and comments. Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to thank Janet Wilson for always her clear and concise reports. They're well taken. Thank you, Janet. Michelle Velasco, you're doing so well in a variety of ages and cultures and the students that you tend to. We really do appreciate that. And that story you told us about your young student graduating and her fight is wonderful, and it's what we're all about.
Thank you.
All right, board members, any comments? Our Jeff Martineau, would you like to make a comment too?
No comments from me, thank you.
Okay. Our board members.
I don't think that we realize what all our schools do for these kids, and I think that's commendable.
It is heartbreaking, isn't it?
I know.
Yes, it is. It sure is.
And thank you, everyone who's reported on us, who kind of opened our eyes. It's rough out there. Thank you so much. Any other board members? If not, let's adjourn this meeting. We need a motion and a second.
Barbara Littlebrand moves.
Claudette Beck, I'll second.
Thanks, ladies. So Barbara Littlebrand moves. Claudette Beck seconds. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Margaret?